So when you're swiping through multiple people, bouncing between apps, like keeping up with all those text messages, how are you able to even focus?
I know. It feels like our world is just prone to dating ADHD.
Hi, I'm Yui Shu.
And I'm Julie Kraftchick.
We're active daters turned dating sociologists.
Here to dive into everything modern dating and relationships.
Welcome to the Dateable Podcast.
Before we get into this episode, a quick word from our sponsors that make it possible.
Hey, do you ever look at your closet and think you have nothing to wear? Or is it just me? It's not just me, right? This is why I can't believe I didn't discover Armoire clothing rentals earlier. With an Armoire membership, I can now build the perfect wardrobe with high-quality brands that I wouldn't normally think I could afford, such as Philip Lim, Monique Lhuillier, and Marni. Doesn't it just sound fancy? To get started, all you have to do is take a five-minute style quiz and select items from your dynamic, personalized closet. The styles show up at your door in as little as 2 days. And then when you're ready for new clothes, boom, swap them out for more new-to-you styles. I recently rented a pale lime green leather blazer from Alice and Olivia. You may have seen it on our Instagram stories. I am obsessed. It's so perfect. If you're like me who doesn't want to spend all that time putting together a look, but also loves looking stylish. Right now, our listeners can give Armoire a try and get up to 50% off their first month. That's up to $125 off. Just visit armoire.style/dateable. That is armoire.style, that's spelled armoire.style/dateable to get up to 50% off your first month and never worry about what to wear again. Try Armoire today.
Do you want to be transported back to being on the beach during your favorite vacation? I certainly do. Osea's Undaria Algae Body Oil smells like summer, bottled with all-natural, uplifting notes of mango, mandarin, grapefruit, lime, and cypress. And it's not just about that elevated scent. This body oil is clinically proven to instantly improve skin elasticity and deeply moisturize, leaving skin silky and soft. I've said it before, but I love this product. It feels like I am going to a spa every night, and it delivers that coveted post-vacation glow like you just returned from a tropical getaway. Right now, you can get 10% off your first order with our code DATEABLE at OseaMalibu.com. Get healthy, glowing skin for summer with clean vegan skin and body care from Osea. Get 10% off your first order site-wide with code DATEABLE at OseaMalibu.com. You'll get free samples with every order and free shipping on orders over $60. Head to OseaMalibu.com and use the code DATEABLE for 10% off.
Hello, friends.
Welcome back.
Thanks for focusing your attention on us in this episode as we talk about dating ADHD. We're going to make this a thing because we think it is a thing.
Oh, it absolutely is a thing. And, you know, we're going to go into what we think this means in our world. But also, you know, of course, we don't want to diminish the actual disorder. So we're also going to talk about like how it is to date when you are diagnosed with ADHD also.
So what does ADHD stand for? It stands for Attention Deficit Hyperactivity Disorder, and people diagnosed with ADHD may have trouble paying attention, controlling impulsive behaviors, or be overly active. And although it can't be cured, it can be successfully managed, and some symptoms may improve as people age.
You know what I was reading about too, which is interesting, is that it used to be very much like ADD, right? And It was a distinction between the hyperactivity part, and now it's collectively known as ADHD together.
Right. And you hear people go, adult ADHD.
Yeah.
Right. Because now
you think of
not
kids,
just
right?
In children now. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And we're not medical professionals. So we did bring in a professional to talk through if you are diagnosed with ADHD. But first, we just want to really recognize that the way we date today,
oh my God,
we are all prone to dating ADHD. All the apps, all the different options, all the different people, all of the wondering what's next. It's nuts.
Yeah. I feel like you have to almost be like living in a world that's outside of our world to not experience this, or like have such good focus that you can eliminate all the noise that's out there, which I would say most of us are not able to do.
Noise is the word for all of this. And back in the day, when we did it traditionally, you only knew people through your network.
Yeah.
So you were able to focus on maybe one or two people at a time. Now, I don't know. I've seen my friends' apps. Like, some people are balancing 20, 30 people at once, trying to message them all, trying to keep track of who's who.
Yeah, and it's like, it goes beyond the apps, too. I 100% feel that, because then it's like, oh, the incoming text messages, setting up the dates, being on the dates, and then you're getting the new people in the flow. Like, it's a lot. It's a lot to go through.
I'm tired.
I'm tired. It's exhausting. So we all know you feel the same way. So in this episode, we really want to go through and say, like, does dating ADHD exist? Is this a thing? And then ultimately, knowing where we are today, how do we date in a way that can reduce some of the stress and, you know, allow us to keep more focus on ultimately getting to where we want to go. And then also recognizing when someone you might be dating has signs of ADHD, or even you do too, and being able to work through that instead of pass judgment.
We will absolutely go through, if you are diagnosed with ADHD, how to date on your terms, basically. Mm-hmm. And then if you are not diagnosed with ADHD, but feel like you have some of that behavior, there are also other solutions. It's not like you have to be diagnosed to understand what it feels like.
Yeah, what I'm learning is it's a spectrum, like many things. So it's not mm-hmm. like you either have it or you don't have it. Like, I feel like that's like what we think with a lot of this stuff, like with anxiety and depression too. I think there's been a lot of, you know, research in the last decade, I would say. It's been a lot more normalized. I think before it was like, you are diagnosed, you're not. There's something about the word diagnosed too that makes mm-hmm. people feel like it's not applicable to them. We actually partnered with Done, an online resource for people diagnosed with ADHD, and they shared that 75% of adults who have ADHD don't even know that they have ADHD.
I believe it. And in the world that we live in today, I feel like we're more prone yes. to develop ADHD. And so many of us grew up not having ADHD, not having it be a thing. So we've been undiagnosed all this time into our adulthood.
I feel like my brain is always going like 100 different directions. And it is hard for me sometimes to like stay on one task. And like my partner too has recognized sometimes like we'll be talking and then I won't be listening. So I'll be like focused on something else, or I'll change the conversation. And I'm like starting to think that like I have some spectrum of ADHD.
Well, we probably, like you said, we probably all do.
Yeah.
And ultimately, the question is it debilitating
right.
for you? Is
right.
it blocking you from living life to the fullest? Those are all the questions to ask. But we all have this to a certain extent. And if we don't address it, we're going to feel like, I think this is why there's such a drought mm-hmm. in dating, is because of people feel like they're inundated with too much
yes.
information.
Yes.
That they feel like they can't take action.
Right.
And there's a lot of parallels from dating to the fitness industry. I was reading the study about why people are actually less mobile these days, even though there's gyms, at-home machines, and all these apps. And they did the study with like a million people. And the study came back and people said, I'm just inundated with too much, too many options.
Yeah.
Too many opinions, too many experts trying to persuade me of the best way to work out. I just want to block it all out. And now I just don't do anything. And I think dating is the same way. Too much.
100% agree. And like that hyperactivity, I feel like that could be a lot. That's like a lot to take on. And it's, I mean, hard to give anyone attention when you're pulled in all these different directions. To your point, like you just end up doing nothing at all.
Yeah. And then just having our phones on a date.
Oh,
already
my God.
Is competing for your attention. Even if your phone yeah. is away or it's face down, you're still thinking like, oh, someone texting me. Should I look at my phone when the person I'm on a date with goes to the bathroom? Like how many people? I was just watching two people on a first date the other day. And as soon as the girl went to the bathroom, the guy whipped out yep. his phone. And the same thing happened to her when he went to the bathroom. It's like, what are you going to do to kill that time?
You're going to look at your phone. And you're texting your friends. So you're like really always yeah. around multiple people at once, even though you're
yeah.
with the attention of one. It's very like interesting when you think about it that way.
Yeah.
I don't know. I think like this, of course, like we're not medical professionals. We're not claiming to be in any way. But I think about like for years, I thought I had high anxiety. And I do in some ways. I don't want to say I don't have anxiety at all because I definitely do. I remember I went to this like program to manage my anxiety. This is when I was like dating and I felt very anxious around dating. And it turned out the only area I had anxiety in was dating.
Huh.
And I'm not saying that, like, I do think I have anxiety other places. It's definitely not just dating, but it showed up at that time of my life predominantly in dating because that was an area that I felt out of control with. And now in my life where I feel out of control in other areas, that's where I have anxiety.
Well, in our conversation with Susan Ngugu from Dunn, she will go into the relationship between anxiety and ADHD. And maybe you'll start understanding by the end of this episode why you may behave the way you do,
yeah.
or maybe why you may feel burnt out by dating, or why you constantly uninstall and reinstall the apps. It explains so much of modern dating behavior that we chalked it up to, oh, modern dating is fucked up. Well, actually, we're just a product of everything that's been happening, all the cultural shifts that's been happening.
Yeah, it's like the product of it. Like, again, it goes back to like, it's hard not to have dating ADHD in this world.
Mm-mm. No, how do you not? How do you block out all the noise? I guess if you do not use any of the apps, you only date one person at a time, you don't take your phone on dates, and you shut off everything, all your devices.
Yeah.
That would be the only way to block out the noise. But once you turn everything back on, you're swept back into the world.
I think about it too, like dating apps are designed to keep you on the hook, right?
Yeah.
Like there is the hooked model. There was this book by Nira Eyal that talked about this, and it was all psychology of how you stay into the app. And he talked about dating apps where you get the it's a match and you want more of that. It's like a slot machine. You want to keep going. So instead of having a conversation with the person you just matched with, you go to the next person, then the next person. So in a world where they're already pulling you in that direction, I feel like you have to have a ton of self-control to be out of that. And if you already have any, you know, if you're either diagnosed with ADHD or feel like you have any signs of it, it's even harder than, you know, if you don't. It's very hard to get out of those loops that they've created.
The hooked model applies to everything I experience now in my life, even shopping on Amazon.
Oh, yeah.
I buy one thing, I click buy, and then I think, what's the next thing I'm going to buy? I need those packages to be coming to my door every day. It's everything. We just want what's next. I've accomplished this already. I'm already thinking about the next. And people in dating feel the same way. And that's why so many of you all complain that people don't seem present on dates.
Right.
Right. And they feel like they're not engaged in the conversation, or they feel like they're onto their mind is somewhere else. Well, that explains it. Everyone's kind of already on to the next.
The mind is somewhere else is very interesting too, because obviously we've touched a lot about, you know, the pre-date, just getting to the date in the first place. But that's only half the battle. Once you show up, that's another piece. And if you're preoccupied and having trouble focusing, it's going to be really challenging. And then, like again, and if you have ADHD or just a byproduct of this world where you're thinking about your work, you're thinking about all the other things that could be going on in your life, it's just a lot. I feel stressed. I want to like curl up in a corner and, you know, but I do think there is knowledge is power in this situation. I think this is why we wanted to do this topic too, is because at least if you can know where it's coming from, you can stop and be like, okay, this is what's happening. Not just, oh, I'm just in this endless loop and I feel frustrated and things aren't moving and I'm never able to make anything happen. Like then you start to just get burnt out. If you can at least consciously be like, okay, remember this dating ADHD episode that Dateable did. I think this is what's happening to me. Let me pause for a second. Just adding that pause could be just you know, a game changer.
Well, this conversation we're about to have is twofold. One is, if you are experiencing these symptoms, how do you manage? But I also think the second part of this conversation, which is so fascinating, is you could be dating someone with ADHD and don't know it. And they may not be texting you back. They may not be as responsive as you want. They may avoid certain conversations. And you think that they're playing games or they're ghosting you, when they may in fact just have ADHD. So that's also important for us to know. You never know what someone else is going through.
Never. This goes back to our episode from last week about digital body language. Mm-hmm. We think there is a standard and, you know, that everyone has like the rule book, the playbook, and there's universal signals of DBL. But there's so many other factors out there of like how someone's responding, like of what they're going through or just how they process information, that's out of the equation. It's just way too simplified to be like, they didn't respond back in 20 minutes. They don't like me.
Yeah.
That's just too simplified.
Too simplified. I agree. Too simplified. The world is very complicated.
It is.
We're going through a lot.
It is.
And now add ADHD to your list.
But it's okay. We're leaving you with hope that recognizing it and understanding it and being able to talk about it. Like, I feel like the stigma with anxiety and depression has been lifted. So it's time, like, this also kind of comes out as something we can address and talk about freely.
Yeah. It's only been recent years where I've heard about adult ADHD. You always hear about it in kids, right? So you're like, oh, I'm an adult.
I grew out of it. But no.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think that's why it's not as hot of a topic as depression and anxiety. I feel like those ones age with us. Maybe they get more.
You get more depressed as you get older.
I personally feel like I have gotten more anxious as I get older because there's like more life stressors coming in.
Yeah, there's more.
So in different ways. But anyways, those ones are definitely in adulthood where, this one you're like, oh, it's something you've gotten past that, right?
Yeah.
But then you're in a world that's just like throwing shit at you left and right. And of course you're not past it.
Of course.
Especially if you're undiagnosed and you never even thought about it.
Of course. I have this theory that, you know, once you get past 35, you're considered geriatric pregnancy if you get pregnant. Like, it's just high risk. And I don't think it's age. I think it's stress and anxiety as we get older. It's not age. Yeah, I mean, to a certain extent, when you reach menopause, you can't have kids. But yeah, the older we get, like you said, Julie, the more things we need to be responsible for, which creates stress and anxiety and probably ADHD. And that probably does not make it a very friendly place for a baby to grow.
No.
There you go. blame society. It's not our age. Society.
I like it. I like it. So anyways, we're going to get into it a lot deeper with Susan. Excited for this conversation. Definitely make sure you listen because this is a good one. It's really important to just understand the product of our environment and where we all sit in the spectrum of ADHD. So before we get into it, announcements. If you haven't yet, leave us a rating and review. Love it when you do that. And also, if you are an Apple Podcast listener, make sure to turn on auto downloads. There's been a change recently that is not necessarily letting you get all the datable episodes delivered to you right away. So make sure that you're subscribed. And if you're on Spotify or one of the other players out there, there's also ways to follow the show. So do that as well. And then also shout out if you're on Spotify, leave us a comment on the episode. We've been checking those lately and making them public. So it's kind of like the equivalent of leaving a review on Spotify, a little different, but also leave us a review on Spotify. You just don't get to write in what you want to say, but it still helps us in so many ways.
It does.
It definitely does. Okay. Well, before we get into it, let's hear a message from our sponsors.
Confession. I have a secret about how I've been able to update my wardrobe with only high quality but affordable pieces these last few years. And now I have to let the secret out because they're sponsoring this episode. It's called Quince. Yeah, if you know, you know. Quince has premium European linen dresses, gorgeous washable silk tops, luxurious cashmere. And the best part, they're priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands because they partner directly with top factories. So no more middleman, and that's why it costs less to you. I know Julie got herself some nice cashmere pieces, and at only $50 a sweater, come on. And I recently ventured into home goods. I got myself some premium cotton percale sheets. Ultra cooling and just feels like a five-star hotel every night, and it's so perfect for the upcoming hot months. So get warm weather ready with Quince. Go to quince.com/dateable for free shipping on your order and 365 day returns. That's quince.com/dateable to get free shipping and 365 day returns. quince.com/dateable. Living with ADHD can be a challenge, and dating with ADHD is definitely a challenge, we've heard many of you say. But finding the right care and proper tools needed to succeed can be life-changing. Done is an online ADHD care platform that can get you all the resources you need to help manage your ADHD. Unlock your path to better focus with Done. Take a free one-minute assessment and book an appointment with a licensed ADHD clinician as soon as the next day. Get continuous care, insurance coverage, and 24/7 care team support, and pharmacy copays as low as $0. And because May is Mental Health Awareness Month, you can get 50% off your first consultation. That's just $99. Visit get.donefirst.com/podcast before the end of the month to take advantage of this deal. That's get.donefirst.com/podcast. Done. Turn ADHD into strength.
Okay, let's hear it from Susan about dating ADHD.
ADHD and dating with ADHD is something that most people don't really talk about, but there is a diagnosis for people with ADHD, and also how does that affect your love life? So I'm glad we have an expert with us today. Her name is Susan Ngugu. She's a board-certified psychiatric mental health nurse practitioner, 38 years old. She lives in Texas, originally from Nigeria, and she is married and currently works at Done, an online subscription-based treatment program for people with ADHD, as a lead nurse practitioner specializing in ADHD, depression, self-care, and more. Welcome to Dateable, Susan.
Thank you so much for having me.
Yeah, we're excited to get into this with you. I think in today's world, it feels like everyone has a short attention span. I'm just thinking about myself. Like, I feel like I'm constantly moving in 20 directions, but I don't know if I've ever been like, do I have ADHD? Is that something that maybe just is undiagnosed, or is there a spectrum of how much it can show up within people?
Right. I will say this, in my experience, there are very high functioning people with ADHD. There is a lot of judgment too. So I think that the stigma did affect a lot of people opening up to their providers. Now, thinking about the current society that we are in, everything is fast paced. Everything is moving very quickly.
Yep.
So we are constantly pushing through all the expectations from the society in order for us to achieve our goals. And sometimes it can be very difficult. It's also caused an increase in anxiety and depression for a lot of people, because you think about it, I am not able to get anything done. And I'm constantly thinking to myself, what is it that is stopping me from achieving all my goals? Mm. So we want to find out, how is it impacting your day-to-day? What about abilities to get tasks completed, difficulty multitasking? There's just a whole lot that a lot of people experience.
Yeah.
How is it also impacting your personal life, right? There is this self-gratification that comes with accomplishing the things that you've set out to do. And if you feel like you're failing at it, and this is where we can then evaluate such an individual and discuss a little bit more about a treatment plan that could possibly help decrease the symptoms.
So what I'm hearing from you, like, a big part of it is like completing the task at hand and that kind of getting in the way of your life.
Yes.
Obviously, this is a dating podcast, so we're going to turn it to dating. But when I think of like just the world that we're in, especially with dating apps, there's hundreds of people you can be talking to. When you get a match, you could, you know, start actually talking to someone and have a connection form, or you can keep swiping and find many other people to go on dates with. I could imagine if you have any like spectrum of ADHD, this can be really difficult task. Mm-hmm. What's your take on like the dating landscape today and like having ADHD as a component of it?
So this is very, very important. When you have ADHD, one of the things that is hard is being able to make a decision, right? Mm. And you are constantly, say, at dating apps, as you are swiping left, when you have ADHD, you may not even pay attention to what you're looking at. Mm. Like, what are you looking at? For me, I think that is important because a lot of people with ADHD will think about it. Oh, I'm lonely. I need a relationship. I need a boyfriend. I need a girlfriend. I need a partner. Mm. And they jump on those dating apps without thinking about what are the qualities that you need in someone. What are you looking at when you're reading their profiles? So we're just constantly swiping. And a lot of times you see a lot of them swipe left and they're like, oh no, I missed it. I wanted to swipe right. It's because that focus wasn't there at the time while they are reviewing potential partners. You see what I mean?
Yeah.
That's why speed dating may not work for someone with ADHD, because their brain is like trying to figure it out. Like, what am I doing? What do I need? What do I want to think about? What are the qualities that I need? And it's like you put on a hot chair. And a lot of times, because of the impulsivity, people make impulsive decisions because they feel like they're on the spot. They need to make that decision, that sometimes it can backfire.
Oh, that can lead to ghosting. That can lead to rejection.
Interesting.
I mean, that makes a lot of sense because, you know, Julie and I are of the elder millennial generation. And I feel like ADHD was not a thing when we were kids.
Yeah.
So it's manifesting now because a lot of us have gone undiagnosed and it's now transpiring into our adult life. As we're dating, I've heard that even texting and reading text messages is really hard. Mm.
It can be very overwhelming and it leads to a lot of difficulty in focusing on one person. And that's the reason why, even when people match on dating apps, the motivation to continue the conversation may be lacking because they feel like, okay, now I'm here. What's the next step? So we were trying to figure out the next step, and that can inhibit one from making a decision because now it's so quick. You're like, did I make the right decision? Hmm. Let's follow through. How can I follow through to schedule a date with this person? What if they don't like me? So there's a lot of negative thoughts too that can come in. What if they feel like I'm missing something? What if I start talking to them and I zone out? So there's a lot of self-doubt that can affect such environment. So I think that, like I said, it could be as simple as texting someone, responding to their messages. It is a huge challenge. Mm. I think that there's a lot of patience too that needs to be applied when you're meeting people in such settings. So because again, what if you meet someone who has similar struggle and they feel like, yeah, it's a sector and she's not responding. And some people also have the fear of, what if I initiate a text message to this person and they continue to bombard with messages and I don't have the time to respond. So dating in this manner can be very challenging for a lot of people with ADHD.
I always go back to that Modern Love episode with Anne Hathaway.
Yes.
Of just like, she was like in the supermarket, so excited to meet new people, like in it.
So good.
And then she had bipolar. So the next day when the date came, she did not want to get out of bed. She did not want to see this person. And it's very confusing to the person on the other end.
Yeah.
But that episode, I think, was so powerful because it showed like you just don't know what people are going through. I think today's world of modern dating, like even if you're undiagnosed, like you're going to have a little ADHD in it. So I can't even imagine with people that are actually like going through this, how overwhelming it must feel.
It is. It is very overwhelming and somewhat discouraging as well.
And that's why we hear about dating burnout.
Yeah.
And this is probably why so many people are burnt out. And what you just mentioned, Susan, it's almost like modern dating is counterintuitive to people with ADHD. Modern dating is all about instantaneous decisions and actions and doing and going and committing to those decisions. But if you're living with ADHD, that is totally against what you want to do. And then, like you said, it could backfire because you could second guess yourself as well. If you're dating someone with ADHD, what are some other ways to just try to understand what the other person's going through?
So I think that shared experiences are very important. Being able to find a partner who understands your struggle and communicating your personal struggles to them is very, very key. We've seen a lot of issues when you look on the counseling side of things. A lot of people's relationships are on the rocks because their partner feels isolated to what their struggles are, you know? Mm-hmm. And the question is, why is my husband or my partner constantly losing the keys? Why are they always forgetting things that I tell them to do for me? What about our anniversary? And you know for a fact that they have a good heart. They do care about that relationship. They don't want to jeopardize it. So this is a point where we can encourage them to seek help, and seek help for those who don't have any understanding of what's going on. And for those who do, help them establish a routine. And it could be as something as little as creating a key holder in your entrance of your house where, okay, when you come in, I know your keys are constantly getting lost. Put your keys here. Make sure your wallet is here. You're not doing it because you want to control them. You're doing it because you care about them. And that's one of the things that make people feel a lot more relaxed, because relationships grow. And when you're tapping into these little things, it can even unfold a lot more in that relationship. And that takes away the nagging, the constant belittling that comes in relationships. Yeah. So I think that is very, very important to help anyone. It could be a friend, it could be your partner, it could be your child. Help them to prevent them from getting overwhelmed. That helps a lot too, to decrease a lot of anxiety, not just for them personally in their own space, but also around such partner.
Yeah.
Another important thing is practicing mindfulness and relaxation techniques to help them reduce stress. I think that's very, very key. It could be taking a walk in the evening when you feel like such person is, you know, stressed. It could be helping them to even prepare a night before their work to say, okay, what are the most common things that we struggle with in the morning that creates a lot of stress for you? Make sure that these things are put in place before you go to bed so that it helps you sleep better too, because a lot of things that I see common with ADHD patients is a constant racing thoughts where you're in bed and you're like, oh, I have a million things to do tomorrow. Oh. Where is my car keys? What am I going to wear? Let's do that before you hit that bed, because then you're able to say, I got this. We're going to get ready tomorrow and it's going to be a smooth sailing activity. So I think that's very, very key. And partners should stop criticizing their partners. You've seen a lot of TikTok videos where people are either constantly talking about their husbands or their wives or their significant other. I think that doing everything in love is very, very key. And that takes away a lot of judgment. It also helps them in dealing with their issues individually.
Well, I think that's why it's so important to learn more, because it's not like there's a shame of having ADHD. I'm like, honestly, I'm going to take the quiz and understand it better because I'm really starting to think that I have a lot of signs of this. But I think a big part of it too, I was talking to a friend about this and she was saying like, it's hard for her husband to stay on track of their conversation. Like they'll just get sidetracked. And I was like, oh, I do this a lot as well. And it turned out like he did have ADHD and she was able to at least understand now. It wasn't like, oh, he wasn't interested in what she was saying. It was because his mind was going in different directions. And, you know, personally too, I think for me, like in today's world, again, like it's like the worst world for anyone that has any signs of ADHD. Just even putting away my phone in a different room helps, because like you're constantly competing for attention of the people you're with presently and then the people that are virtually kind of having that come through.
That is true.
To that point, though, I mean, I find myself having a very low attention span, but am I exhibiting signs of ADHD or am I just a byproduct of society today?
Yeah.
At what point do you seek help?
I am of the opinion that I would rather go to a healthcare provider and tell them, I think this is what I have. And they can reassure me that this is not what it is, or they can confirm, then evaluate such an individual and discuss a little bit more about some symptoms. And it's so weird because when I talk to patients, they don't even know they have these symptoms. And we talk about little things like getting your socks all in a pair and cooking for your family, making sure that your kids are taking care of your own personal needs. Being able to come up with a solution or a plan for the day and say, I achieved 80% of it and I feel like I've done something right. So this is where a lot of people start to question their performance. Are you on the verge of losing your job? What if you don't have one? How many applications have you put in? You know, are you struggling to even get up and complete your resume. Little things like that can make a huge impact in what happens to an individual's future. So that's one of the things that as healthcare providers, we want to dig a little deeper. And like I said, as an individual, you may be experiencing these things, but do not take it into consideration because we don't really know a lot about ADHD. And that's one of the things that I think that the word ADHD inhibits a lot of people from, because we hear the word hyperactivity. Mm. We're thinking, am I like a five-year-old who is constantly bouncing off the wall?
Yes.
So understanding the different types of ADHD helps us to understand the impact that is making in an individual's life.
I want to dive into this even more, but before we do, let's take a quick break to hear from our partners. Spring is in the air, and you know what adds an extra spring to my step? Our partners at Via Hemp. Need to chill out after a long day? There's a Via gummy for that. Dealing with anxiety or stress? There's a gummy for that too. Want to set the mood in the bedroom? There's a gummy for that called High Love. Via also carries a wide array of other gummies with and without THC, ranging from 0 to 100 milligrams. I've been struggling to stay focused lately, so I was excited to try out their Flow State gummies. These felt like a good bet to me too, because they were non-psychoactive and THC-free. But they definitely delivered, boosting my daily energy and focus. So whether you're a 2 milligram or a 50 milligram user, you can shop through their website for any strength and effects. So head to Via Hemp and use the code DATEABLE to receive 15% off and one free sample of their award-winning gummies, 21 plus. That's viiahemp.com and use the code DATEABLE at checkout. Please support our show and tell them that we sent you. Take your passion and pleasure to a whole new level with High Love from Via Hemp. Did you know we're eating and drinking roughly a credit card's worth of plastic a week? Yep, that's right. Blue Land set out to do something about it. Eliminate the need for single-use plastic in the cleaning products we reach for the most. I'm absolutely obsessed with Blue Land for a couple of reasons. One, how they're helping the environment. Two, how convenient they make my life. And three, how freaking beautiful their pastel containers are. All you have to do is fill your reusable bottles with water, drop in the tablets, and wait for them to dissolve. You'll never have to grab bulky cleaning products on your groceries run again. My partner was a little skeptical the other day if the dishwasher tablets would work as well as the pods we usually use, but after the dishes came out sparkling clean, he was sold as well. It's not only super convenient, but Blue Land is also affordable. Refills start at just $2.25, and you can even set up a subscription or buy in bulk for additional savings. Blue Land has a special offer for listeners. Right now, get 15% off your first order by going to blueland.com/dateable. You won't want to miss this. blueland.com/dateable for 15% off. That's blueland.com/dateable to get 15% off. If you love Dateable, we have a podcast you have to check out. Seeing Other People was created to help you feel less alone and more empowered by your dating life. Hosted by your soon-to-be favorite internet big sis, Alana Dunn, an early Hinge employee, modern dater, and now a fiance, is here to guide you through whatever you're going through. And she covers the gamut of topics, from anti-dating rules, how she went from being an anxious dater to in a secure, healthy relationship, and navigating dating burnout. On Tuesdays, Alana brings on expert guests like dating coaches, matchmakers, psychologists, and more. And on Thursdays, Alana is joined by anonymous real-life daters who bear it all and open up about what they faced in their love lives and what they wish they knew going through it. Seeing Other People will help you change your dating mindset, develop healthy dating habits, and make you feel like you actually can find what you're looking for. Subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts and tune in every Tuesday and Thursday.
Two-part question. One is, I'm just trying to understand, could ADHD lead to depression and anxiety, or does depression lead to ADHD? What is the relationship?
It can be both. And I want to create a very simple scenario. So baby Susan goes through kindergarten, goes through first grade, second grade, third grade, things start to get harder. Parents are not worried because they feel like, yeah, she's just a little rascal. She'll be fine. And I navigate through pushing through all the labeling and all the lack of connection with what my parents think about my situation. And I get to 16, I can't do it anymore. I get into college and I drop out because I can't do it anymore. Guess what's going to happen? Anxiety is going to set in. Depression is going to set in, because when I look back, at my peers. They're all engineers, doctors, lawyers, doing all sorts of things. And I have no degree. I have nothing. And I've moved out of my parents' house and I'm struggling, right? Depression is going to set in. And when you go to a provider and talk to them about how you're feeling, you are going to start off with your immediate feeling. I feel lonely. I feel sad. And when you have a provider who is very, very knowledgeable, who cares a little bit more, and who is very, very aware of what that could look like, or just interested in your journey, they're going to ask more questions. Tell me about your childhood. How is your relationship with your parents? Did you think that these symptoms were present at a younger age? And how did people perceive that symptom? Did they think that it was worth evaluating? And I'm saying this, and this is not a judgment to anybody whose parents hadn't paid attention or whose culture doesn't support evaluation and diagnosis, because we've all been there. But I think that as a young person, it starts to affect your future. It starts to affect the outlook and things, and sometimes can even create resentment, because you might feel, well, if my parents didn't care enough to get me evaluated, now look at what I'm struggling with. Understanding this journey and this person's history is very key, or trying to figure out what and how the person got there.
So if I'm understanding correctly, it's not that if you have ADHD, you're going to have depression,
no.
But there is a high correlation just because of the causation that comes from it. Like, I can imagine in a dating sense, like if it's hard for you to stay focused on a conversation with someone and then nothing is turning into more because you can't stay focused,
right.
You're going to feel like down about your dating life. And it's not necessarily because of the ADHD that you're depressed or have anxiety about dating, but it's kind of a result of it.
There is a possibility that ADHD symptoms can cause depression along the line if it's not treated over a long period of time, and it is constantly and negatively impacting the individual's life.
Got it. Okay.
Yes.
We definitely want people not to walk away thinking like everyone has ADHD.
No.
Like, I don't think that's what we're trying to say here. But I do think we need to recognize, one, the world we live in. And then two, it is a very real thing that a lot of us never got diagnosed because of just, especially if you're an elder millennial up, just the world we were living in when we were younger.
Right.
I guess for people that are struggling to stay focused in dating, let's use the example maybe starting with dating apps, that it's hard to stay focused on the specific conversation and person at hand. What tips would you have for someone like that?
I would say before you get on the dating app, think about what you want. And just knowing that it's not going to be 100%, but at least having an idea helps you to know who to swipe right to and being able to determine how you want to proceed with it. And knowing that just because you're ready, the person on the other end may not be ready. So just not being disappointed with the level of feedback that you get is very, very important. Take it slow and steady and just hope for the best.
That's really interesting because, you know, in today's world, people are just like swipe, 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 not looking at the profile, doing anything like that. And, you know, honestly, a lot of times you and I will recommend that because we don't want people to get bogged down in the profile and something that might not be realistic to how someone is in real life.
Mm-hmm.
But what I'm hearing from you is if you do have ADHD symptoms, maybe slowing down, taking that time to read a little more could actually be a better middle ground for you, knowing just the other stuff that's going on in your mind.
Right. Because if you have boxes to check and someone checks a lot of the boxes, again, knowing it's not going to be 100%, it helps you prepare better that you are not wasting your time just swiping on everybody you see on the app. So if those boxes are set before you get on those dating apps, it will make things a lot easier for you.
So being more intentional. I mean, I think everyone could take that advice too. Just being more intentional on the apps.
Yeah.
What about when you're on a date and you have a hard time focusing on the conversation?
That can be a huge struggle. It takes a lot of empathy and support from the person on that side. And I mean, we've seen so many shows. If the person is not in the zone to have that conversation, they're not there. So if you have ADHD, before you go on a date, make sure that you are choosing a time and a date that works better for you. and not trying to please the other person because somebody says, hey, Susan, do you want to go on a date today? If I'm not ready to have a conversation, I can say politely, I think that's a great offer, but I do think because I have a lot of things to do today, I may not be able to fix that in my schedule. Can we do it tomorrow? Because that helps you have a very clear mind because like I said, if I have meetings back to back and someone at 6 p.m. tells me to go on a date, my brain is tired.
Yeah.
So it's okay to say no politely and reschedule at a time that works better for you.
What about environment? I can imagine like something that, you know, is like high stimulus, like that could be bad. What is your take on that?
So I think that being honest is very key because personally, I don't go to the club. So if someone says, hey, Susan, you want to go clubbing? I will politely say, I'm not sure that's a good environment for us to have a conversation. And that's one of the things about dating, right? If you're not at that point where you are trying to figure out what the person likes and what they don't like. And I think that if I'm struggling with ADHD and someone asks me, where would you like to go on a date at? I will want to make sure that I'm telling them a place and a space that I feel very safe and I feel can help me focus on that conversation rather than trying to impress them to create this fantasy or a world where I know I'm going to fail at.
What about texting? Because like we talked about that before, it can be very overwhelming to just be constantly getting texts.
Right.
But in today's dating world, people use that as such a sign. Like if someone doesn't respond quickly, they think they're not interested. But I could see someone with ADHD getting overwhelmed and not responding. What tips would you have for that person?
So this will be my tip. Make it clear that you're not a good texter.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because again, creating an expectation is very key because if you leave things open for people to, you know, conclude on, they will say that you're not interested. While you're getting to know each other, you could put it out there. I'm not a good texter. A phone call will be preferred so that you can get the response that you need very quickly or give me time. Because we also have to think about it. What if this is a high functioning ADHD person who is like a director at a company with so many responsibilities? They may not just be there giggling behind the phone, trying to text you back and things like that. So I think that is very, very important to kind of let them know that, you know, while you're getting to know each other, let them know that you're not a good texter, that if there is any delays with returning text messages, it's not a sign that they're not interested. It's just they are trying to navigate through a lot of responsibilities. And that makes it very, very understanding for the other person because now they know, yes, I texted you an hour ago. I may not get a text message at 6 p.m. Maybe they get it at 5. They're like, oh, okay, that's really a good sign. But then again, you think about dating, right? The purpose of dating is to find someone that you're going to spend the rest of your life with. You also want to start from there to communicate your likes and dislikes or what you can do and what you cannot do so that you don't create an expectation that you can't meet even when that relationship is fully established.
Oh, so true. When I dated someone with ADHD, he was very good about saying, this is what I am good at and this is what I'm not good at. So he said, if I see more than one question mark in a text, it's overwhelming and I can't answer it. So if you have multiple questions, let's hop on a call.
That's really good.
Right. And if you have multiple things to discuss as part of one question, make it just one question.
Yeah.
You know, instead of like, are you free at 5? Do you want to do sushi? And should we go to this bar after? That's three separate questions. It's more like, how about we meet at 5 for sushi and then a bar after? Like that is one question. So I thought that was really useful. And he said, if you need anything right away, a decision to be made right away, just call.
I really like that he communicated that with you because if he didn't, you could be left very confused. And he also gave you kind of a playbook of like how he operates and obviously was open to working with you too. I guess just like when is the right time to communicate this to someone? Like, is it as soon as you match on the dating app? Is it once you've like established this is going to be someone you keep seeing? What is your take, Susan?
Should you put it on your profile?
Yeah.
No, I don't think so. You know, like I talked about the stigma, if somebody may not understand it that way, because every other person, as a provider, I can understand it, right?
Yeah.
But as someone in the dating world, I'm going to be like, yeah, this is a red flag. I'm not doing this.
Right.
But there is a phase in a relationship. I call it the talking phase. And this is a phase where you get to kind of understand, you know, what are the type of food you like? Where do you like to go? Do you like traveling? Do you like this? Do you like that? I think that, you know, when we talked about being intentional is also being aware that this is the person I want to disclose as much as I can disclose about myself without creating a negative experience for you. At that point, you're already talking, right? And when you are at that early stage, actually the suspense is actually very cool. When the person hasn't responded, you're like, ooh, maybe.
I guess it's cool.
So the game players are ADHD. Yeah.
Unintentional game playing.
Yeah. right. For some people, because you have to also think about it. Although patients with ADHD can be impulsive, relationships are a little different, especially when they made up their mind that this is what they want. Mm. They are not trying to give everything at the same time. They're also trying to hold back to make sure that I'm not just, hey, going to tell you everything about me and you can now run with your own narrative about me. No, but I will, at the point where I feel safe and I feel like I can trust you, move a little farther down to say, okay, here we are now. We've established boundaries in these relationships and the things that we want. These are the things that I would like for you to know about me. And what that does is also, it creates a level of test for that person. Because if I have told you what I think works for me and you're constantly disregarding it, then that's also a little red flag for me. So
true.
Yeah.
I think that in both ways, it works out when we slowly kind of transition things where they should be. And it creates a good partnership for that person and expectation so that they know that they are well prepared for that role and also to support you better if they need to.
What happens when two people with ADHD date?
It's fun. It's actually really fun.
It's fun? Okay.
No, it is fun because I feel, especially if they recognize it later on, they're able to work in partnership to support one another. What better way to experience something unless someone else is experiencing the same thing? Just like I talked about, experiencing ADHD could be something that is as common.
Yeah.
But what impact does it make in your life, right? If my husband is constantly struggling with his work, we could potentially work together to create, you know, support there.
True.
What if it's affecting our sexual life? We can say, you know what, maybe we need therapy. Let's go talk to a counselor together. Yeah. So it's actually really fun. And that's why when two people like that meet, they create a lot of activities that surrounds or creates a little bit more stability for them. You see a lot of these people are, they could be comedians together. They could be YouTubers together.
True.
Content creators. They could be anything, right? But they are utilizing, they are drawing strength from one another to continue to on their relationship. And that's where I talked about definitely not being negative towards your partner.
Yeah.
It's very, very important because at some point in time in one's life, you will find that there are symptoms that are part of your personality that could potentially align with your partners. So it's not a bad thing when two people with ADHD. I think that they actually work together to create something very strong.
Do you think everyone has a little ADHD, like especially in our world? Or like, do you think there are people that truly don't?
I think so. I think that some of the symptoms are common in a lot of people. I think that where it makes a significant impact is if there are negative impacts in one's life.
Right.
So we do have some. This is my personal opinion. I think that we all have some. I myself do have some, but it hasn't stopped me from, you know, doing anything that I wanted to do. But what about the struggles that I had to face getting there? So it's a question of what kind of support do you need to get you to where you should be or what kind of goals that you're working on. I think those are very, very important.
Right. And that's why where the spectrum comes in is like, if it's really getting in your way in daily life, then this is something you need to seek help with immediately.
Right.
But then like, you know, in the dating context, like maybe there are ways it's getting in your life, like in terms of like, you know, overwhelming aspects of dating apps or texts or whatever. And that's where you just need need to draw more boundaries and like understand yourself so you could communicate too of like, yeah, maybe I don't swipe on every last person or I tell people to call me instead of texting, like that type of thing.
Yeah. Yeah. If it's debilitating, it's probably going to be a major issue. If you find that you can't hold a relationship down for more than 2 months at a time, it's probably debilitating in some way. And Susan, to your point, it's your level of tolerance, but maybe if you are going about your life undiagnosed and you're highly tolerant, also know that there's a way to make your life easier. And I think that's something that is a major message for people too. Right. It's like, yeah, you could tolerate it,
right?
But you know that your life could be a lot better if you seek help.
Sure.
I mean, I think what I'm just taking away from this whole conversation, I mean, I'm curious your take, Susan, but like today's environment is prime for ADHD, like whether you're diagnosed or not. So understanding your diagnosis is important because that can help you. Mm-hmm. It's not shameful, but rather it can help you set you up for success in terms of navigating the world of texting and dating apps and all the craziness that comes with modern dating. But I think the other big takeaway I'm having is, you know, we really don't know what the other people are going through on the other side. And, you know, we've talked about this before too, but I think mental health is always that reminder for me. It's like, you really can read into behaviors and the way people are in ways that really aren't like accurate because you don't know how their mind is processing things and their brain chemistry and all the stuff. So I think just having more understanding for other people or being willing to ask more questions, like if someone's not texting you back immediately, instead of jumping to the conclusion they're not interested, have that conversation, understand why. Pending, of course, you're getting all other signs that they are interested, not saying to like hunt people down that aren't. But I think just like recognizing that not everyone operates the exact same way is really important.
Totally agree with you.
Yeah, that's really the key takeaway is seek understanding instead of judgment. People just don't operate in the same way. But also, I think we need to stop joking about ADHD. I feel like it's something that we do lightheartedly, like, oh, I'm sorry I didn't text you back. I have ADHD, or I didn't get to it, or I couldn't focus on this conversation. I don't think we should joke about it because it kind of dilutes the severity of the diagnosis. And now we know so many of us live with ADHD and many of us undiagnosed. It may deter someone from seeking help with it. So it's really great to know. And also that compassion and respect and patience is important if you're on the other side dating someone with ADHD.
Yeah.
I just want to give a major shout out to your work at Done. And again, just a reminder, it's an online subscription-based treatment program for people with ADHD, and people can take a questionnaire and seek help basically today.
Yeah.
Anywhere else that you would want to direct people, Susan?
I think that's the best place.
Agreed.
Yeah, I'm definitely going to look into it more. I'm very curious.
Same.
We utilize the services of, you know, clinicians who are board certified in mental health and psychiatry to provide services. And that's what makes a huge difference. I think that when you are going to discuss your struggles and concerns with someone, it should be someone who is experienced and educated in that field. They are able to definitely, you know, spend time with our patients and understand their journey and determine whether or not treatment is appropriate. So I think that's very key when seeking help.
Thanks for enlightening us with all of this information, Susan. It was definitely needed. And for all of our listeners, what did you learn from today's episode? Have you been living with ADHD and have you experienced dating burnout as a result? Why don't you give us a rating and review in Apple Podcasts, give us 5 stars, but in the body of the review, let us know your experience with ADHD. And maybe this is something new here. Maybe you're learning new information about yourself and hopefully how to make your life much better and easier. With that said, we're going to wrap up this episode.
Stay Dateable.
The Dateable podcast is part of the Frolic Media Network. Find more podcasts you'll love at frolic.media/podcasts. You can follow us on Instagram at Dateable Podcast and visit datablepodcast.com for access to all the episodes and our premium programs. Also, make sure to subscribe today if you haven't already on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or your favorite podcast platform so you are the first to get all the latest episodes. And most importantly, stay dateable.